Hello and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast. I'm Joe Oberle, senior writer for VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com. And that's Mark Craig from the Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Mark, what happened to our names at the bottom? How will anybody know who the hell we are without our names at the bottom of the screen?
Yeah, we need no introduction, Joe.
There you go. We're here to talk about Vikings and free agency after week one. It's quite an eventful week. I mean, all these fantasy football players are going to need a program to find out where their favorite players are before picking them in their drafts this year. I mean, people are moving all over the place. What do you think? Pretty crazy so far.
Yeah. I mean, it's always kind of this way. I mean, there are certain teams that, I think the Packers are more active than usual. I love what the Steelers have done, Russell Wilson for nothing, and then Justin Fields trade for nothing. But yeah, as far as the Vikings, it's short term, you're. I don't think they're better without Kirk Cousins, but I think that's a necessary move that you had to make. Yeah. Sam Darnold, I kind of wonder, why Sam Darnold as opposed to maybe I'd be more interested, or equally interested in, say, a Flacco or someone that's cheaper or whatever, but I don't buy the thing of Sam Darnold's only 27 and they can work with him. I think Sam Darnold's established who he is. So, but the biggest news, obviously, and we'll talk about it, is that trade to get that extra
trade. Yes, bringing the lead.
He trumps everything because that means they're serious about moving up and getting probably McCarthy.
Hey, our names are back.
Yes, they are, Joe.
Look at that. We buried the lead, the biggest story of the Vikings in their free agency quest this year was the trade. They traded picks with Houston Texans to have both the 11th and the 23rd in the first round, giving up a couple seconds, and then they swapped. The Vikings gave them a 6th and they get a 7th next year, which is kind of irrelevant, but that's a big deal. That signals to the world that they're going to trade up for a quarterback, don't you think, Mark?
Well, the Vikings get the 23rd pick. The Texans get the 23rd pick. The Vikings get the 23rd pick in the 7th rounder this year. The Texans get the Vikings 2nd rounder and 6th rounder this year and the 2nd rounder next year.
Correct.
That doesn't give them enough firepower to go to the top 3, but I don't think that matters because those 3 teams are going to take quarterbacks. I mean, the Bears clearly going to take a quarterback. Washington clearly going to take a quarterback. New England clearly going to take a quarterback. So number 4 is Arizona. Arizona might get tempted, but I would imagine Arizona saying, hey, Marvin Harrison at number 4 looks pretty good. So I feel like they've got to, they don't have enough to go to – to 5. Just giving them 11, giving the at 5 is
Chargers.
The Chargers are 5, Giants are 6. So, the Chargers would be a team I think would be, they're obviously they're set at quarterback, they got a new regime, they're going to want more picks, more people that fit Harbaugh's what he wants to do. So that's probably the target, but it's also probably the target for other teams that want to go up and get a quarterback. I think you would need to get the I was talking about this with Jeff Diamond the other day. Jeff knows a million more than percent more than I do or you do. He was guessing they would need to add, probably boost it up with a fourth round pick maybe to get up to number 5. That sounds good to me. When I heard the trade, I thought that maybe the Vikings, favored the Texans. The Texans, this is the gift that keeps on giving from the Deshaun Watson trade. This 23rd pick that the Vikings now have goes back to the Deshaun Watson trade. This is, Cleveland's pick. It seemed like it favored the Texans, but if the Vikings can parlay this and maybe add on a fourth pick, a fourth rounder, I don't know if it would be this year or probably would be next year. Then that's what they had to do. And they have to do something bold and be aggressive. And they are, they're being aggressive and they're being bold.
There's some talk and I don't know how truthful it is, but I saw this over the weekend that the most of the behind the scenes talking right now between Vikings and any other team are with New England and with Arizona for those third and fourth picks. So it's clear that they would love to get up there and maybe take a shot at Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. I think it's incumbent upon them to do something with this. The downside, if they can't make a pick, having two first-round draft choices is not a bad thing. They could get some other quarterback later. But, you know, it's possible that the steam that they were saying was that if the quarterback that New England wants, which I think is Jaden Daniels, is not there, goes second or first, they would trade down. And that would be exciting to do so. They probably need even more than a fourth round pick to get up into that third or fourth.
Yeah, that would, I feel that would require a first rounder next year. That would take because then you're getting into the top, you're getting your guaranteed money, your third quarterback. That to me costs you another first rounder. I don't see New England, you know, you're changing regimes from the best coach that's ever coached. And you're coming in and you traded your quarterback that they drafted 15th overall, just a few years ago. You're sitting there with one of those top three quarterbacks, unless you just absolutely hate the other two. Mm-hmm. Your guy is gone. But I have a hard time believing that you wouldn't take that swing, knowing the lack of a quarterback, what it did to Bill Belichick. It brought down Bill Belichick. If it brings him down, it brings everybody down. So I think you take that swing if you're there. Completely convinced that there's only one guy that you could possibly build around, then I guess you trade. But I don't see that. Arizona, maybe I see that because they're going to roll with Kyler Murray. But I don't see them being able to get up to number three. And if they did, it would cost another one. So
that seems like too much.
Frankly, at this point, if they're able to do that, the way as aggressive as teams are now, it wouldn't surprise me, and I wouldn't blast it. I don't think if they could get up and get, whoever is that prize guy, that it'd have to be someone in their mind. They would never tell us, or we'd never really get to know the exact thinking of where, which quarterback they're really targeting. But if it's a guy that they feel can be a CJ Stroud, then go for it. And they will be judged on that. And if they're wrong, they will be fired.
Yeah.
So it's a critical moment in the history of the Vikings right now going forward, because moves are being made that are either going to define these guys as fantastic, bordering on great, or fire and start over.
Yeah, I got to figure that the Chargers at five is probably the most realistic, that because if the Arizona Cardinals traded with the Vikings and traded out of the fourth pick, they're not going to, unless they get back up there, they're not going to get Marvin Harrison. He's going to be gone before, the 11th pick for sure. So, and that's who it sounds like they want more than. So it's going to be probably take a pretty penny to get them to move out of the fourth spot. I'd hate to see the Vikings trade three first round picks, but I suppose that's what it requires these days. But, it's not a guarantee. Like you said, Mitchell Trubisky is still bouncing around the league, and Bears traded up for him not too long ago. And basically they swung and they missed. So you can certainly miss up there, and the Vikings have to hit on it. It is a huge deal. I mean, this trade was the first step for them to get in position to do this, but they're not home yet. They got to do something else.
What I like about this trade that they just made to get two first rounders this year is that, unlike say the 49ers, when they went up from 12 to 3, it was three number ones over 3 years, or even the Deshaun Watson trade, it was over 3 years, and now it's going to be extended even farther. This would be three number ones in a span of 2 years. It hurts, but they're at a point where, the history of this franchise has always been close, but not good enough. And right. That's why they've never picked a quarterback. They've never could be one of the more amazing stats in the league. They've never picked a quarterback in the top 10, and they've been around 60, in years. And so, you know, the highest guy they've ever picked was Dante at number 11. So right now, what they're where they're at, it's requiring really, really big, really big ones. And they seem to be, you know, and letting Kirk go wasn't, to me, it's a big decision. I guess if you're O'Connell, that's a bigger decision. Like, well, when you're looking at the future of the franchise as GM, you know, it's a decision that the Falcons made for them, basically. Now, this trade with Houston and going forward, what do they do with it? This defines Kwesi's future with the team.
This trade has supplanted the old Kirk Cousins as the lead talker in all these podcasts. You finally just brought him up, but we can't get away from Kirk just yet. Kirk went to Atlanta, as we all know. It was a big deal, but I'm seeing it's not as big a deal. This trade made it seem a little bit easier when you can sit here as a Vikings fan or Vikings observer and think, okay, they could possibly go up and get this quarterback they want. Then all of a sudden you can say, Kirk, see you later. It's good to see you go. I sure hope you retire as a Falcon like you've always wanted to do, you know. So
I think that Kirk's going to be on the doorstep of 40, and he's going to say, I really want to retire as a Buccaneer or whatever. Maybe just keep working his way down south. And but no, everything that, you know, and then I was saying this last year is what, you know, all the talk about Kirk was as if the Vikings were the only one that was going to make the decision. You know, it was always, well, you know, all they got to do is just commit to him for 1 or 2 years, get your rookie quarterback, and then force him out the door in 2 years. And, you know, along comes a team that says, hey, we want you forever. We want you forever and ever, and retire as a Falcon and pierce 4 years, you know, all these guarantees up until you're 39 years old. You know, Vikings couldn't compete with that because, and frankly, as I emailed you, the difference in getting this is a team that sees Kirk's potential like the Vikings did in 2018, and a team that has lived week to week to week and never – you know, they've enjoyed a lot of highs, but they've enjoyed a lot of lows. And in the end, you got nothing for it. You got nothing really for it. So, you know, one was right. Say, hey, we could maybe do this 2 more years and see if it finally pays off, as opposed to a team that's fresh off of, you know, Taylor Heineke and the other young guy that they had down there. Well, it's, you know, so we'll see what happens. My guess is I just don't. Kirk is not going to put a team on his shoulders and take them to the Super Bowl and win it. That's just not who he is. He's going into year 13. If they dumb luck into staying healthy at every single position and they load every single position, Kirk can win a Super Bowl for you.
Yeah.
How is that going to happen?
You know, I'm not expecting, I mean, if past his prologue, I mean, he took a little while to get his feet grounded here in Minnesota once he got here. So he'll have a new offense to do. I mean, last year, I think the last year and a half with Kirk here was as much to do with Kirk as it was to do with his head coach, Kevin O'Connell. They had some familiarity. He wasn't Zimmer. He is a quarterback-friendly coach. It was a great place for Kirk to prosper, and he did statistically, and he did 2 years ago with winning ball games late, doing some nice things. He's got a different situation down in Atlanta, you know, whereas the head coach is a defensive guy, and I'm not saying he's Zimmer, but it's going to take an adjustment for him. So I think it will be a while, and Kirk's only getting older and might be getting more fragile finally after being so healthy all these years. Maybe this is just the beginning. And I'm not wishing it on him, but I have, as we sit here today, I have no regrets. I'm saying, see you later. You know, I like all the things the Vikings are doing, and we're going to talk about those. One thing that was interesting about the whole Kirk thing is that the Eagles and the Falcons are being looked at by the NFL for tampering. Perhaps they might have, jump the gun and talking to Kirk before they
can you believe that? I mean, I can't. Well, your first sign that people, you know, there's this window now where they call it the legal tampering period. Well, that to me, I laughed whenever they came up with that, because I just said, well, that just pushes the illegal time, you know, earlier. But what happened in this case is, to me, it's just a dumb rule. You're those 48 hours from Monday to Wednesday, you're allowed to talk to his agent. Well, you know that they're doing more than talking to the agent whenever Kirk is on the doorstep of 36 years old. Kirk just, tore his Achilles. Do you think that they're going to, if there's any way that they're going to, be talking numbers and stuff with just his agent and not talking to Kirk and talking to the doctors and his doctor? And because they come up, within a couple hours of the start of the legal tampering period, the whole thing was hammered out and it was, tweeted out by his agent.
Right.
And then Kirk, Kirk got him in trouble by saying what down there in his press conference on Wednesday night that he had talked to the trainer on. So Kirk, as savvy a veteran as he is, needed a little priming, I guess, and I think Saquon Barkley said the same thing about the Eagles. To me, I don't know what they'll do to him. They could maybe dock him a fifth round pick or something like that. It's a
the Vikings.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. You don't get, the Vikings wouldn't get it.
Too bad.
But it's just, to me, it's a dumb rule. It's a dumb rule because if you can talk to the agent, you should be able to talk to a 35-year-old grown man about it. And the Vikings had their chance, and the Giants, in Barkley's case, had their chance up until Monday, to make to seal the deal. And then it's kind of what was all bets are off. And frankly, as we talked about, I think last week, my opinion was once he got to Monday, it was over,
Right. Suddenly, it's like a fantasy football trade. Some guy emails another guy, hey, you want this guy for this guy? Yeah, let's do it. Boom. It's in. There's been no prior discussion or hammering out of details. So yeah, it is kind of silly, but it must be in place for some reason to prevent something that's happened in the past,
I can see it, there should be no tampering. Like when the Vikings have exclusive rights to talking to Kirk and his people, that's absolutely no way should there be contact, but once you get to Monday and the other teams are allowed to talk to his agent,
mm-hmm.
Now all this stuff probably happens behind scenes a little bit, but if you're caught, outside that period, then yeah, I feel like you should have draft picks taken away from you. You should, have to play by the rules. But once you got to that Monday where it was 48 hours and you're allowed to talk to the agent, I feel like at that point, those 48 hours, you should be able to talk to Kirk. You should be able to talk to the doctors and everything. I don't get why that's, only talk to the agent. I don't understand that.
They should have had Netflix cameras in at Kirk's place to see what was going on over the weekend and at the combine and just following him around. Then he might not have done it. No, I'm just kidding. Who cares? That's it. Kirk, I won't say we hardly knew you, but we got to know you. And, seeing you say, just like you said in Washington, just like you said in Minnesota, and now saying there, I want to retire a Falcon. Well, good on you, mate. I suppose you do. He's already working on his next contract.
Well, yeah, I don't fault him at all. The man's a genius when it comes to his ability to maximize his earnings and still kind of Netflix really helped his image. Obviously,
yeah.
It helped. He is driven to keep his body in shape. He's driven to do whatever it takes to try and win a Super Bowl. Sometimes I feel like the whole process, KO said, he's a process guy. Sometimes I think that's a compliment, but sometimes on the field, I feel like that's not a compliment. Right. Because there's a process takes a little too, there's too much that he's trying to do.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like he jams up, but good quarterback, wants to be paid like a great quarterback. The Vikings, they agreed with him in 2018. They don't agree with him right now, and the Falcons do. I'd say the one thing that Kirk said that, and I know what he's probably talking about when he said, he was excited because when the owner, the GM, the coach, and the quarterback are all on the same page, that's when you can win a Super Bowl. Now, come on. I mean, to me, it's talent. It's the quarterback leading the way. Obviously, he's speaking, I believe, about Zimmer. And then whenever O'Connell came in, it shifted from probably the GM wasn't the one, obviously.
Oh, goodness.
Didn't sign him. And then owners, I've heard different things about what the owners have thought about him. To me, it's I don't want to say it's an excuse, but it's like you had opportunities. 2019, when Zimmer's defense was number one in the league, and there was still that, you hadn't really had to gut your defense yet. That window right there, and they did. They went down to New Orleans. They upset the Saints. And then you go out to San Francisco and your quarterback does nothing to help you. You just get thumped by a more physical team. And so there were times. I feel like
2022, Mark, and you said this a million times, to play like that all season and then to end against the Giants on your home field with the ball in your hands, the last drive to go down and win the game, and you just go belly up on fourth down. I'm sorry. Right. And, a lot of that on you.
And as much as we've praised Brian Flores and we've ripped Ed Donatella's the worst ever, that defense came up with a lot of critical turnovers that helped win a handful of games. That was a team. We joked about it having the horseshoe, all year long and everything. Well, when it came down to it, the pressure was on at home. The defense obviously fell apart, and the quarterback did nothing to lift them, higher. So, yeah, it's all about money. This league is about money. And if Kirk would have come back for 1-2 years at $60 million, they couldn't have signed that fast enough. But, yeah. That's just not reality.
Nothing to lift him higher. Was that a Freudian slip, Mark? Cousins got Creed song, Higher? No. That's good, Mark.
He lifted him sort of higher, I guess. Until I didn't hear that one playing when they played the Giants. I didn't hear that one coming out of TCO that night.
Well, on that note, we will, before we go to the low road, I don't want to go to the low road, so we'll just stay up there in the higher. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit about what Mark heard at the press conferences from Kwesi and KOC this week. And then we'll talk about who the Vikings have signed and have not signed it. Speaking of which, Kirk coming back here with Atlanta this season. Would have been nice to have Danielle Hunter, right? But we'll talk about that later. Let's take a quick break and come back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. Welcome back, folks, to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, you were out at TCO this week when KOC and Kwesi sat down for some comments and brought in their new free agents that they've signed, among them Aaron Jones, Sam Darnold, Grenard, Cashman, and Van Ginkel were all out there. So what did you hear out there, Mark? What pearls of wisdom did you glean from those guys chatting us up at the press conference?
That what I learned is that Van Ginkel looks exactly like Garth on Wayne's World. So,
party on, Mark.
He's a little more subdued though. I thought it was interesting that they were asked about was everyone on the same page with Kirk? And I think O'Connell said something about we love Kirk. Everyone knows how I love Kirk. Where we are at this point, it's the right move. It's the right decision for us right now. And then Kwesi kind of circled back a few questions later and pointed at it. Judd Zolgad and said, I just want to go back and say that everyone was on the same page. And then he went into a bunch of big words, binary decisions, and a lot of Ivy League talk and about, basically –
No, he learned that in Cleveland.
And you can't just that one person on a franchise can't just have exactly what they want. Give me. I want, Zimmer was, I want that corner. Zimmer, when you were bringing him through the checkout aisle, he pointed at the cornerbacks. I want the cornerback. And a lot of times they gave him to him. I said, shut up, Jim. Here you go. With O'Connell, probably O'Connell, I would say, if you strip everything back and said, hey, he might have probably wanted them to give another year last year where it might maybe not have cost as much, sort of guarantee 2024 to get another year out of Kirk. I don't know. But, you know, there's never going to be in anything. I don't think you're going to have everyone with all like robots just all on the same page. But I do feel like O'Connell put it the way I would say it, the reality is, hey, you know, we'd love to have him, but we all kind of have to admit that this is for best decision for us right now, because they're not one person away from the Super Bowl.
So, no, well, apparently Atlanta is. Yeah, whatever. I heard you at the press conference. I listened in, and I heard you putting the hammer to him on Aaron Jones's age. You know, right away going after that Green Bay Packer and saying he's too old to do anything here. What's up with that, Mark?
Yeah, and I wrote that. Still feels very strange to be. He's 29, and so I'll let you guys do the math, but I am 1 year past exactly twice his age, and I'm, hey, how does it feel to be an old guy? Are you motivated by being old? You know, what I find interesting is that this is an analytics guy that makes, you know, Kwesi is, you know, he's raised on the analytics side of the game, and I liked his answer, frankly, when I said, you know, what about, you know, a guy 29 years old and the background of 29 years old, you know, you look at last year, there's only three guys that had 300 or more yards rushing that were 29 at the beginning of the year. It was Latavius Murray who had 300 yards. And then it was Derrick Henry and Raheem Mostert, which were over 1,000. So there is that, you know, when you're looking at running backs, you would tend to go younger. And then Kirk Kwesi said, you know, you look at that's like a guardrail. All these things that in place are guardrails. So, you know, my feeling is that Aaron Jones could be a tremendous pickup, or Aaron Jones could hit a wall. We don't really know.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones, I loved his answer. And he said, you know, look what I did at the end of last year. He had, you know, finished with 5 100-yard games, two in the playoffs. Now, before that, he missed, you know, probably 4 or 5 games, hamstring, knee.
He got to play the Vikings in one of those games, which helped.
You know, it's 1 year. It's $7 million, which is sort of high for a running back for 1 year. But some running backs get some money this year with what the Packers gave Josh. You know, Jacobs, the Packers offered $6 million for 1 year to Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones said no. So they released him, and then they got Josh Jacobs, who's 3 years younger, and gave him an average of $12 million a year for 4 years. So the Packers are gambling on, you know, that's a lot of money for a running back, but he's younger, led the league in rushing just 2 years ago, but he had injury problems.
I wonder what they refused to pay. I mean, they wanted Jones, the Packers, they wanted Jones to take a pay cut. What do you think it was? I mean, he wasn't up for that.
Well, it was the word out of Green Bay is that it was, you know, they were going to offer him, you know, $6 million a year.
Oh, wow.
$6 million. And so, you know, typically it's a lot easier to go somewhere else, especially when you're going to play him twice a year, I would think. He was very, you know, he even opened up his press conference. And he seems like a really quality guy. You know, he closed with the skull chant, skull chant. But, you know, he woke up and said, I want to thank the Packers, you know, for drafting me and helping me on and off the field. He seems like a really quality guy. I think he might have been the Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate. I'm not sure, but
nice.
I think that there's a very, very, very good chance that he ends up being better than what they had last year. But that bar is kind of low as far as what Madison brought to them. So if he still has that speed and he stays healthy,
it's really interesting.
He's definitely a versatile. He can do a lot with your passing game as well.
Yeah, and a pretty good pass protector, I believe. You know, it's amazing to me how quickly it happened, because, you know, the Vikings couldn't know that they were going to do that. But as soon as they let him go, boom, they jumped in there and grabbed him. You know, and it seems like the Vikings had cut Madison, so they obviously were moving on. But I thought that, you know, it's more of a cap saving measure what they were doing there, and probably looking, and all of a sudden it looks like this this thing falls in their lap, they can go get Aaron Jones and keep, you know, in fact, improve their rushing game. You know, now they got to pay for it.
Well, yeah, I don't think Madison was a cap saving move. I mean, they did save some money on the cap. There's some dead money, which isn't a whole lot this year. They have dead money this year, going back to another year of dead money, I guess, with Dalvin Cook, because they spread that out over 2 years. I think they reached the conclusion that Madison isn't going to give them what they're looking for. Madison is not, I mean, it took them a long time to get off of Madison and on to Ty Chandler. When it comes to one, you know, even Ty Chandler as a younger player was more instinctive. And
took a hot minute to get on Aaron Jones.
With Alexander Madison, it's like someone needed to teach him it's okay to miss a guy once in a while, you know. You know, raise your head up and try to make someone miss as opposed to run everyone over and, you know, just running into there's the hole and run right to that spot. I don't know. I just – he was a good backup. He didn't seem to have the instinctive – qualities that you needed, and Aaron Jones does. Aaron Jones is older, but we'll see.
I don't think we talked about Sam Darnold. I think he was signed after we did our podcast last week, I believe. But what do you think of that signing by the Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of those guys in that, you know, some of them are older guys that they haven't, you know, just maybe 1 year left, like a Joe Flacco. You know, Joe Flacco is still riding what he did with the Browns in a regular season last year. He was cheaper. I think Joe Flacco, to be back up in Indianapolis, was, I want to say he was in that $5 million range or somewhere in that.
Yeah.
So Jameis Williams getting Jameis Winston getting $8 million to go to Cleveland to be a backup. That surprised me. I'm surprised Cleveland didn't just get Flacco back for another year. I guess, you know, Sam Darnold, 1 year, $10 million. It's not a huge investment, obviously, but it's double what he got for the 49ers last year. Now, granted, the 49ers, he was going to be they knew he was going to be a backup. Here, they're probably looking at he's going to be your starter for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could change if they get, say, J.J. McCarthy and he comes in and he's ready to start right away. But I don't know. It feels like I'm not overly excited about Sam Darnold because it's been proven time and again that there's just not – he makes a lot of mistakes. He doesn't – the game seems faster than what he's able to be considering where he was drafted. But I don't – there's a potential there, I guess.
You know, you mentioned his one year, $10 million salary. There are a lot of 1 year contracts coming out.
So someone asked a question about bridge quarterbacks. You know, you can't win with bridge quarterbacks. Well, Quasey said, I don't want to put labels on guys, and I don't blame him there because that is a case by case basis.
Right.
Sam Darnold or, even Sam Darnold himself has been when you think of bridge quarterback and, when he went to Carolina, I don't know. It's like, to me, it could be a terrible pick or it could be Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was a bridge quarterback that everyone made fun of in his opening press conference. He's like, I'm not Tom Brady. Well, no kidding, Baker. But then Baker Mayfield went and had a career year and led him back to the playoffs in a year when Tom Brady left. So, you know, this could be a good move. I don't think it's going to be a move like Baker where you play really well and then you get $35 or $30 million a year.
For right. Money. Yeah, there is going to have to be some kind of transition for that to happen. But, another guy that the Vikings got on a 1 year contract is defensive tackle Jerry Tillery, former first rounder of the Chargers. He came from the Raiders on a 1 year, $375 million. What do you think of this guy? They do need some help at defensive tackle. Right now they only have four on the roster. And I heard this morning before we got on the air that they're bringing in Rams defensive tackle Jonah Williams is coming in for a visit. His first visit in free agency is going to be to Minnesota. So maybe they'll try to get another one there. But anyway, Jerry Tillery, your thoughts?
Maybe they could bring in Aaron Donald, a Rams defensive tackle.
Woo!
you know, Tillery, you know, obviously they're not paying much for him. It's what, 1 year, $3-4 million. I like, you know, he's 27. He was a former first round pick of the Chargers, 2019, 28th overall. He's like 6'6 or 6'7. Yep. So, and I know, you know, I was looking at some of the Pro Football, because I don't know a lot about this guy. Pro Football Focus, the win rates and stuff. He's more of a reserve guy. I think he started 39 games. He just looks like he has potential. And to me, when you're only given, you know, $3.75 million for a year.
Seems like a good deal.
It looks like there's something there that could happen. Now, you don't want to feel like what happened. What they've had is a bunch of guys like this where you're thinking, wow, you know what? It could work. They still lack that, and I don't know where you get it now, because all the difference makers have either been re-signed by their teams, or they've cost a fortune by other teams signing them. And like, even the Lions got DJ Reader. They paid a lot of money for that guy, and he tore his quad, you know, late last year with the Bengals. But even that, if he gets healthy, that's a really good move for the Lions. You don't want to fill your entire defensive line with guys. Well, we think he can do this or he can do that. Marcus
Davenport too, which now he'll just have a freaking career year.
I think they're safe on that. I don't. But who knows? Because now, you know, he sees that the money's coming down, and he's still young enough to squeeze some more money. Who knows?
Might have to play. They also signed wide receiver Trent Sherfield. Former Bill, gave up $1.8 million for 1 year. When you sent it over to me, you were talking about that was a body with KJ Osborne still unsigned. Well, now KJ Osborne left. So what do you think of the signing of Trent? Do you see him getting on the field there for him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, KJ goes to New England, makes, you know, 1 year, $4
million. Right.
So basically, you're getting, I think I'd still like to have KJ, even though last year was a down, you know, down. Yeah, he had a bad year.
Had some drops.
You know, his contract year it's a bad time to have a bad year. So he only got $4 million in New England. This guy costs less, you know, half of that. He's clearly just he's still like a 28-year-old project, I guess. You know, he's got 78 catches in 6 years, you know, 5 touchdowns in 6 years. I think he started, he's got like 10 starts in 6 years. So there's not a whole lot there to be excited about, but they didn't pay much for him. Would still like to have KJ, but KJ is going to make, you know, twice as much. So
I think the Vikings are going to move up to draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
So he can, you know, so they can pair him with Sam Darnold for the next decade.
Yeah, that's the plan. That'll be the last thing for Quidditch.
What is the reaction going to be if they do not make a move? If they sit still and they take an offensive tackle and he ends up,
there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, Mark.
Even if they took, say Joe Alt fell to 11, and they can move it, they can play him at guard, and you like. I might be the only guy who would celebrate. I was like, they need a. When's the last time this team had a dominant guard?
Yeah, I know it. I saw him at the Lions Tap last summer. I saw him at Lions Tap. What was his name? He's the teacher now. All pro left guard. You know.
Oh, Randall McDaniel.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And I did not geek out. He sat right next to me in the booth, and he looked at me and I looked at him. So he had that look on him. He knows I know who he is, but I'm not going to say anything to him. So I was.
He's a great guy. He wrote the foreword to my book.
Nice.
One of my favorite Vikings of all time.
I wish I'd have known that at the top of my head. I would have said, hey, I'm a buddy of Mark Craig. You know, I just dropped that name, but I didn't do that. I ate my hamburger and left. Vikings, speaking of the offensive line, they did pick up Dan Feeney from a guard center from the Chicago Bears. I don't remember the Bears ever having a great offensive line in recent years, so I don't know how excited to get about this, but they need some bodies on that offensive line because, as we'll find out in the next segment, they lost some. So anyway, your thoughts there, Mark?
I mean, he replaces Austin Schlottman as the right. – You know, it's that guy that can play guard and center. He's a guy that, you know, when he was playing for the Giants, you know, he had 48 straight starts, I think, at center and guard, mostly left guard. Yeah, he's not a guy. You didn't say it. It's like 1 year, and I don't think it's even been published what he's going to get.
Yeah,
it's not a whole lot. To me, it's good. It's good depth for sure. Still would like to see, you know, a big time guard. Either you know, I don't know. You can't really get him now. They don't have the draft capital to go for a guard. But
what about Dalton Risner?
Well, Risner's, you know, he's out there. He probably wants more than, you know, than they're willing to pay. And I don't know. Just an upgrade at guard, I feel. You know, Risner would be I guess if you could roll with him again. But it just feels like, you know, when teams are able to, you know, like say the Lions or the Browns or some of these teams that can run the ball, and they talk about running the ball and they line up and they run the ball. Mm-hmm. It's not because they always have a great running back. It's because they have guys that move the interior of the line.
Yeah.
They need an upgrade at center, but I don't know that, you know, they're in a position where now it's like, Garrett Bradbury's not terrible, I guess. But they just, they don't have a force inside interior. It's a very finesse type team, I feel. Risner tweaked that a little bit. I think he is an aggressive player.
Yeah,
I don't know that he's a dominant run guy, but if nothing else, they should at least bring him back.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't they just maybe, you know, give him a signing bonus, do all these things or whatever you can do to have his impact to the salary cap be lesser this year, but more next year when they're going to have a boatload of money. Right now they're projected to be over $100 million of cap space next year. The Vikings, one of the top three in the league next year. So, I mean, that's what I would start doing and get him back in here before someone else.
Yeah, they don't, with guys like him, you know, what happened last year when, you know, you saw that he didn't sign until the season started.
Right.
He and his agent are people that value themselves higher. They're willing to wait. And you let guys like that test the market. And you know, the Vikings feel, you know, you have priorities on what you want to do, and he's not at the highest priority. So, you know, he's not signed anywhere else. So it's not like anyone's, you know, beating down the doors to get him at whatever price he was. So
right.
This week we head into that second wave where you'll probably see more, you know, 1 year prove it type deals. And then really the third wave probably comes after the draft when people are like, oh yeah, we didn't get this and this.
Right.
And plug things. I feel like right now that they, you know, there's been 25 cornerbacks that have signed, and I feel like they need a veteran, you know, guy. So I don't know, you know, if that's like the next thing that comes, it's like, hey, you know, go get a veteran cornerback.
They did bring in some of their own, sign some of their own free agents, Harrison Smith, Jonathan Bullard, and Brandon Powell, chief among them. I want to say 35-year-old Harrison Smith coming back for one more year on a restructured contract. I, you know, as a lifelong Vikings guy, am excited about that. I've always liked Harrison Smith when I got chances to talk to him and just to watch him play. I'm glad he's coming back. Do you think he's got anything left in the tank, Mark? And what a guy to restructure his contract just to help the team out and stay another year with Brian Flores.
Yeah, I mean, he's got more in the tank than Lewis Cine has. So yeah, I'll take his tank over Lewis Cine's, which is a shame to say whenever you think about the number one draft pick. You know, people are celebrating the fact that Harrison's coming back, and here's a guy, Lewis Cine, getting into year three, and it's like if they were to cut him tomorrow, people wouldn't care. You know, at some point, maybe he gives them something, but it's pretty sad at this point. Yeah, I think Harrison has, in Flores defense, Harrison has especially when they use three safeties. There's definitely a spot for him, and you know, you can only do this kind of thing when you have a guy. He doesn't have a big ego. Second year straight year, he's taking a pay cut, but you know, I think Harrison Smith lives in the real world, and he sees that he's going to be 35 years old, 13th year. I think it was. Did they bump him down to $9 million or something?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it was going to be 19. That was his original.
Yeah, his cap number was 19. They, you know, you know, Harrison Smith in his prime was be a hard cap number.
Right.
Although there was, yeah, when he had that all pro year that he had, it was his, and he, it, for about, I think, 35 seconds, he was the highest paid safety in the league. I think
right.
sort of like Kirk for about 40 seconds was the highest paid quarterback when he signed with the Vikings. But yeah, I think it's good to have him back. It's good just for his defense, what he gives you, but also just his presence helps. Rarely do I say like a presence helps, you know, I feel it's all about talent, but when you get up to like that, you know, his level, his dedication to what he does, that helps. That helps the younger guys.
Boy, if you couldn't have a better situation for help bringing along someone like Lewis Cine, but it better happen soon or it's not going to happen at all with Lewis. But Jonathan Bullard, Brandon Powell. I mean, Powell's a good guy. In what they asked him to do last year, he mostly did really well. Jonathan Bullard is depth, right, on the defensive line. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, Bullard is a guy that probably – to me, of all, you know, Harrison Phillips played a lot of snaps, probably more snaps than you'd want Harrison Phillips to play in an ideal situation. You know, Harrison Phillips is a good player. He's a starter, but he's not a he shouldn't be your linchpin defensive lineman. I don't think Bullard did some things. He had some, you know, some run stops, you know, on some short yardage situations. I remember going, man, you know, Bullard, you know, is there's something there, but he's to me is a backup caliber player. A good rotational guy. So it's good they got him in. He's got experience. So, yeah, it's a good signing. They didn't pay much for him.
Speaking of rotation, we're going to rotate out to a break. So Mark can take some. You can hear his voice is getting gravelly. He needs a break. He's working OT and all this stuff. So, Mark, folks, come on back, and we'll chat some more on the Vikings free agency and the Vikings territory breakdown podcast. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, it's a segment where we talk about the loves we lost, the land of the lost, the Vikings, who they lost this year in the free agency. And the number one guy, after Kirk, of course, maybe he's the number one guy. They lost Danielle Hunter to the Texans 2 years, $49 million. Doesn't seem that big a deal. And 2 years doesn't seem – I'd have locked that guy up for longer. What's that contract about? What do you think about the loss of Danielle Hunter?
Well, I mean, you know, $24.5 million average is – that's not nothing to sneeze at.
See, it's 16 sacks, baby.
I think that a couple of things. One, I think Danielle – that tells me how badly he wants to play. Because like, you know, he's from Houston. He's from Texas. He's from Texas. Yeah. Trains in Houston, loves it down there, you know, and he loves what they're doing down there. I mean, you know, Danielle Hunter is going to be paired up with Will Anderson Jr., you know, defensive rookie of the year, and Danielle Hunter. Wow. And that's a lot. And, you know, the Vikings, Houston lost two of their, you know, starting defenders to the Vikings, but, you know, they gained a great one by Danielle going down there. And this also, the other thing is it maybe sets him up to get, you know, I did think it would be more years and a higher guarantee. But, you know, when you look at the average and $48 million, I think it's up there. But I think he might have left some money on the table to play in Houston.
Yeah, and maybe so that in 2 years, after he has two great years, he can say, we need a big raise out here, you know? I mean,
at that point now, he's over 30, he's 31. But, you know, those guys, you know, the rent, you know, rent a rusher has been going on in the NFL for even, you know, probably longer than the salary cap when you know, you had the Chris Dolmans of the world that could get you 11 sacks when they're 102 years old, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's but I do feel like he probably left some money on the table to play there. Whenever he, you know, kept going back with the Vikings and kept getting, you know, these renegotiated just to get him in the door. And when he had a no trade or he had a you can't be franchised by Minnesota, that I just never felt that he wanted to come back. I think he was ready for a fresh start and wanted to go somewhere else.
Another guy they lost along the defensive line was DJ Wonnum, and I'm a little disappointed on this one. Panthers, 4 years, $4 million. it doesn't seem like that much. I thought, I mean, he did really well in the defense last year before he tore his quad near the end of the season. Now, maybe that's a tough injury to come back from. I don't know. But I thought the Vikings would make him a bit of a priority knowing they were going to lose Danielle Hunter. And it's, I'm sorry he's gone, personally.
Well, I think what happened is, you know, they chose Van Ginkle over DJ.
Yeah.
Ginkle, I think, what'd you say? DJ was 4 million, 1 year, 4 million?
Yeah, 4 years, 4 million.
No, it wouldn't be 4 years, 4 million.
So he wasn't getting 1 million a year? No, that isn't much, is it? So
no, maybe it's 1 year, 4 million. But anyways, I think the average, Van Ginkle's was my maybe 3 million more average, and Van Ginkle might have got 2 or 3 years, whatever. You know, I think that they wanted, and the injury probably, you know, the injury factored into him not getting more interest. If he had finished the season healthy and had 2 or 3 more sacks and gone over 10, we had a totally different story about where, how much money he got and where he went. Mm-hmm. This is a really good deal for Carolina. The Vikings made a decision that they'd rather give a little bit more money to Van Ginkle. I'm not ready to really rip that decision because, you know, Flores is the guy who made, you know, I think probably made that decision, and he wants Van Ginkle as opposed to Wonnum. They still need, you know, to me, they still need another edge rusher. So I don't think that they have enough, you know, it certainly, they went out and addressed it with getting two guys, but I still feel like they need more there.
Yeah, it says here, I got assigned a 4 year, $4 million contract. Oh, that's with the Vikings. That's an old one of the Vikings.
Yeah, that's not even the minimum.
Yeah, he's not.
So, how do you expect someone to get by $4 million 4 years?
I don't. That's impossible.
He'd have to do a podcast to supplement his income.
As we talked about, the Vikings lost KJ Osborne 1 year, $4 million to the Patriots. They lost Austin Schlottman to the Giants for 2 years. And us, you sent me a note where they left, they changed the status of Chris Tonga and Cam Akers, and Tonga signed with the Cardinals. They also lost Troy Dye to the Chargers, and see who else they got. Yeah, those guys out there. Any major losses there in Tonga and Dye and even Schlottman, I guess. KJ.
Yeah, I mean, Troy Dye is a special teamer. I mean, I don't think anybody played more special teams than he did. You know, it's not a huge loss. You know, the getting Cashman in there, they probably still need, you know, backup linebacker, because Cashman and Pace will be the starters. You know, there's nobody at Tonga they didn't want. I mean, he was a restricted guy. They could have kept him. He you know, he didn't bring much, even as a reserve guy. So,
yeah.
No, there's not much there. You know, KJ's the one guy I would like. Would have been nice to see him back, but you know, it's no longer Kirk. I mean, he had kind of a special like connection with Kirk, and especially other than last year. I mean, the guy was so clutch and, you know, never dropped a ball.
Right,
made great, you know, point blank catches. I mean, first time he ever turned my head was that, you know, maybe it was his second year. He did nothing as a rookie. In his second year, Kirk threw a bullet, you know, point blank to him, and he caught it, and it was like a 4th and 6 or something, and it was like, wow, you know, and then he kept making catches on 3rd and 4th down, and
mm-hmm.
When other guys were covered, when the stars were covered, he would always be there.
Until that went away last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then he, you know, I don't know if the pressure to in the contract year got to him, or then obviously losing Kirk probably didn't help. So, yeah, that's one I would like to have said, man, I'd rather have him than Sherfield.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I totaled up the losses for the Vikings. They got Dye, Hicks, Tonga, Schlottman, Kirk, Danielle Hunter, Marcus Davenport, Wonnum, and Osborne. So they've lost 9 players, and they've picked up 8. And as far as my understanding of the compensatory pick formula, and I know there's more to it than I understand.
No one understands that.
Yeah. But that they should be able to get something like for either, you know, the way I understand it is if you lose more players than you get compensated with a pick. And you had told me offline that there was money involved too, depending on how much they can bid. I don't know if that's, I guess it can go as high as a third. It would be wonderful to get thirds out of losing both Kirk and Danielle Hunter. So I don't know if that'll happen, but that's what I'm hoping for. So they're just loaded up next year with a bunch of draft picks.
Yeah, I would think it. I know it has something to do with the amount, the value of contracts as well. Because losing Kirk and Danielle is not the equivalent of losing KJ and Troy Guy. I don't know if the number might be a part of the factor, but yep. I know it's, I mean, losing Kirk's gonna boost, and losing Danielle's gonna be a boost. Baltimore, when Ozzie Newsome was running the show, and maybe still, they made a living on kind of, you draft a guy, you draft low, you turn him into a star, you let him go, then you get a third round pick and rinse and repeat.
Right.
That's where everything is so linked into your ability to draft for your team, fit your team, get the most out of your guy, let him go if you need to, as opposed to overpaying him like everyone else was going to do. And then you start over with your compensatory picks. And now you can trade those compensatory picks, which makes them even more valuable, because at one point you couldn't you got the compensatory pick, but you couldn't use it to package and move around. And so – yeah, it's if you can draft really well, and like if you be the Kansas Cities of the world, or then you can just make a killing off these compensatory picks.
I think it's a great deal. I mean, gives a team that did, like you just said, develop a guy and then lose him, and you know maybe you're in a market where it's harder to hang on to players, and everybody wants to go to the bigger markets. Or this keeps the rest of the teams competitive by putting them in there. So hopefully the Vikings get something out of that. Some other notes maybe from around the league. We saw Eric Kendricks go to the Cowboys to be reunited with old Mike Zimmer. What did you think of that?
Well, yeah, they originally went to San Francisco and then had second thoughts and went down to Dallas. And I texted with Zimmer. I told him my theory. I said that Zim lives in Minnesota, because I said, yeah, they decided Kirk cost too much money. They went out and signed a boatload of defensive guys. They talk about the wanting a running game, and they're talking about, they need multiple corners. And I said, and Eric Kendricks decided to play for, I said, Zim lives. And he laughed. And I think I can share this. The whole thing to me, whenever Zim got fired, the biggest quote that had the most weight was Eric Kendricks saying the fear-based thing. And I think that was more, had to do more with the trainer situation. Now, I will say that, Zimmer's imitation of Bill Parcells cannot fly in today's NFL. Like Parcells would, you think about, could you imagine a coach now calling, like when he called Terry Glenn a she?
Yeah.
Yes.
That might be a problem.
Yeah. So things like that. So Zimmer would have a kind of a, like when Kendricks had a calf and he kept him out for a while, I think Zimmer may have wrote him a little bit, joking a little bit too much more than what Eric liked. But I do think that Kendricks did like Zimmer's defense. I mean, how could you not? I mean, when Eric Kendricks was in his prime, he knew Zimmer's defense as well as Zimmer did, and he was always in a spot before, the other team knew. He knew the other what was coming faster than they could run it. Hmm. And I don't think he has those wheels anymore. But hey, I mean, Eric, to be part of that defense with Micah Parsons and what they got going on in Dallas, that's really good. It could maybe jumpstart his career a little bit.
Speaking of Zimmer, is he just the guy that they need to get over the hump down there? I mean, they've got great people in place down in Dallas on defense with Micah Parsons. Is that the one? They've got some other players. They got one former, isn't the former corner that we had here in Minnesota is down there too, still starting for him. I can't remember what his name is. Some guy that kind of drove Zimmer nuts. Or anyway, I thought there was another guy down there.
He did not like Cam.
So what do you think about Zimmer down there? Is he excited? I mean, you've talked
to him. Mike McCarthy, I think it's to me, it's shocking that Mike McCarthy didn't lose his job with Jerry Jones after the way the Cowboys, really good regular season and then totally melted down at home. I feel like he starts with 2.5 strikes against him. So I don't know if and Zim is close to Jerry. So, Zim, who knows, maybe Zim could be the interim coach by midseason. If they start out, I don't think McCarthy survives if they start out 0-5 or 0-4 or something like that. Dan Quinn did a heck of a job with that defense. Mike Zimmer is, I don't know if head coach is.
Dantzler. Isn't Dantzler down there?
I don't believe so, no.
Oh, okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like, Zim's going to – the game hasn't passed him by. I don't know that you will see him as a head coach again. I just don't know, being 67, I think, if that happens again. But I think he'll show that, especially with that much talent, he'll show that he's still got some chops as a defensive coordinator.
Interesting. I'm going to put out this next line just as you typed it to me. And did you ever think you'd be live long enough to see the Lions give contract extensions to their head coach and GM, both extended through 2027? It has not happened too often previously, I can say that. Maybe that's about it.
And I wrote for Sunday, just kind of like, some people got offended because I think part of it was the headline not fitting the story, but, having to catch up to the rest of the division. I included the Bears there because the Bears didn't hold even with them. The Bears have made a lot of really good moves. The Bears have two of the top 9 picks. There's a lot going on in Chicago that the Vikings need to catch up to, even though they finished the same record. Some people didn't like that, but right now Detroit, they also have got to, they're going to figure out Jared Goff because Jared Goff is in a contract year. His contract expires at the end of this season. And if you're sitting there, you're Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins gets 4 years, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed for one playoff win, and Jared Goff he's helped one team to the Super Bowl. He's, had a huge role in what the Lions have done, getting to the NFC Championship game. He's worth a lot of money, too.
Aren't they saying that Dak Prescott is about to become a very rich guy down there in Dallas as well?
Yeah, I mean, didn't he just become a very rich guy not too long ago? I don't know what I would be if I were the Cowboys. I would probably be doing what the Vikings did, at least starting the process if they haven't already of how do we maybe untangle from Dak, because we aren't getting the team. And that success that you want when you pay a guy that kind of money. I always have to look how when we rank quarterbacks, you and I have talked about this. I've always, it's like for me, Kirk and Dak are kind of there. It's a lot of talent. There's a lot of ability and ability to make any throw, but it's just like, man, there's too many times where they shrink in a big situation.
When you talk about the Bears compared to the Vikings, aren't the Vikings like a year behind? I mean, they're doing their rebuild now. Next year, they're going to have over $100 million in the cap. Next year, they're going to hopefully this year sign up JJ. They're going to hopefully get the quarterback this year. They're starting their rebuild now, and it's going to be. I'm not looking for them to have a hugely successful season, but they're going to set themselves up for going forward.
Theoretically, that's yeah, you're right. Theoretically, but. I have to see it because, to me, the rebuild could have started with the 2022 draft. You could have had, those Lewis Cine and Andrew Booth and Brian Asamoah.
Competitive rebuild. They didn't need that.
Yeah, but, Yeah, but I'm saying I sure would like to have had Detroit's 2022 draft.
Yeah.
I could point at, hey, that's when we started rebuilding. Not, well, yeah, our GM totally flubbed most of the first two drafts, but here we come, baby. You know, it's so – I'm not saying it can't be done, but, boy, they've got to – they've, you know, they've just got to do a much better job. And that starts, like, I think it starts with getting the quarterback. And
yeah. You made the point about the Lions and Goff, and they're going to have to pay him. They're also going to have to pay my Amon St. Brown, too. I think he was in the draft class of JJ. So isn't he coming up for his fifth year? I think he's going to need to be paid very soon as well. And he's not going to be far away from where JJ is at when he is.
Yeah. I mean, he's a huge part of that and where they got him. I mean, just the hits that so many hits that Brad Holmes has had, just wow. I mean, what they did, you know, granted, you know, you could say, well, yeah, they had the number two pick and Hutchinson's a good player. And well, the Lions used to blow those. Matt Millen blew that pick every year for how many years. And but where they're hitting later in the draft is
really put the premium on the old GM, doesn't it, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what he's done, what Kansas City does every year, drafting late in the first round, it's invaluable. It's just you can't – you just end up with where the Vikings are now. There's holes everywhere when it shouldn't be that way if you just hit on some of your picks.
Yeah. We're gonna keep talking about it. In fact, we'll be back next week to do that. So thanks, everybody, for – checking us out. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mike, producing back there. Thanks, Joe Johnson, who we miss dearly for putting us here in this situation. And we will be back next week to talk about it again. And until then, I just want to say thank you. And I want to sign off like old Joe Johnson used to do whenever he would do this. I've never had the guts to do it, but here's how Joe would always go. See you next week. And until then, skull.
Skull.